Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I'm joined by Alexis, and we're going to be talking about how to prioritize yourself after having children. I feel like this is a very common struggle for a lot of moms. So some information on Alexis. We know each other through ZS, so Zach Spencer and his coaching business. And she is ISSA certified for personal training, as well as for nutrition. So thank you so much for coming on today. I'm looking forward to having this talk with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So for everyone that comes on, I always want to know a bit more about them, what got them into training, and when they wanted to actually become a personal trainer. Because I think that's really important to find out like some more about you and just a little more backstory.
Yeah. So I grew up in Mississauga, Ontario, and I did high school there, of course, all my schooling, and I kind of got into sports first. So I played many sports within high school. I did basketball, rugby, and volleyball. So that kind of got me introduced to the gym atmosphere and like working out and doing all my training there pretty much as an athlete. And then I did get injured near the end of grade 12. So I stopped rugby. I stopped all sports then and was kind of taking a break for a bit. And then in college, again, I got back into it. So yeah, I was doing, I went to college for food and beverage management. So I was kind of jumping around there, just seeing what I wanted to do with my work and stuff. And then I finally, after I had my first son when I was 27 years old, that kind of got me more back into the gym again, you know, wanted to change like my physique and everything too. And then I just had another son 7 months ago. So yeah, I've been back in the gym too. So that's when I really found during, the 2 years after I had my first son, I wanted to change up my career a bit and wanted to do something where I could help others as well. Cause I found the fitness really helped me postpartum when I had my first son, and just not even just physically, but mentally and emotionally, just wanting to feel myself again in my own skin. And I really wanted to help other women feel the same way. So I decided to get all my certifications through ISSA, and then I started coaching about 6 months ago. So I'm pretty new into it, but I'm definitely feeling pretty confident in it. So I have experience, I guess you could say, with getting in the gym, and then of course with kids, trying to balance all that as well.
Yeah. So that's kind of a unique background for you, for switching from what you initially went to school with to going to training. So
yeah,
what was the big thing that you wanted to shift that towards? So like with you obviously being in something completely different first, when was the moment that you realized you wanted to be a coach? And then I know that you mentioned that you wanted to just like help people, but was there a specific moment in time where you realized that that career wasn't for you?
Yeah, well, when I did the food and beverage management, I did that a bit at George Brown, and I actually took a nutrition course there as well through my program. And I got into the nutrition a bit more first, and I was very interested in all, and I learned a lot about just food and like how it can like really be beneficial, of course, for your body with different types of food and stuff. So then I was like, oh, okay. And then I was working out for a bit while I was in college too, and I was like, you know, I really enjoy doing this. Like, I wanted to get into a job I would enjoy doing, no matter of course what the money was, you know. So I was like, okay, this was like on the fence. I was talking like back in the day, like, yeah, I'm gonna go work at a gym, whatever, but I never really had the qualifications yet. So then a COVID hit, so then I stopped working in the restaurants because everything pretty much shut down. So it was really hard to get back into it. So then I was bouncing around still with just jobs compared to what could be open during COVID. So I worked at a bank for a bit. I kind of did like some odd off jobs, you know, just to get by. But then now that everything reopened again, I'm like, I really want to pursue the fitness training with, and then I did my nutrition as well. So then that was where I decided, let me just do my whole shift now that I'm still pretty young. I could change my career around a bit, and then I have a lot of time, you know, to progress in it and grow bigger in it.
Yeah. So how long have you yourself been working out for?
So I'm 27 now, so I would say probably around 11 years. Like when I was in high school, I started, and then I was doing it. I wasn't, of course, tracking all my food intake and stuff way back then. You know, we were kind of just doing it more for the physique and stuff. But now with all the information out there on social media and really understanding how, you know, tracking and everything can really get you to your goals a lot better, that's when I started doing it a few years ago. And then, yeah, I kind of just went into doing it now with the coaching. So It's really good.
So you mentioned about 11 years for your training in general. So yeah. What was one of the big things that pushed you towards wanting to train then, apart from the vanity reasons? Were there other reasons too?
I think back then I just trained a lot with, you know, with doing the sports in high school and stuff. And then, of course, during yeah. college, I kind of still worked out and stuff. But what really got me was just after having my first son. I was really petite before my first son, so I didn't really have a lot of muscle. And I'm a pretty tall woman, so I'm 5'10". So I was really just skinny and didn't have a lot of muscle. So then, yeah, when I started working out again after having my son, I gained a lot of weight, like when I got pregnant with him. And then I didn't even recognize myself, really, honestly, after I had him. And that's what really, like, switched the little, you know, flicked the switch in my brain that really wanted me to, like, mm-hmm. okay, I want to get back to not even my pre-pregnancy body, but just a stronger version of myself, a better version of myself, right? So I think that's really what made me do the switch and want to dedicate myself to fitness and nutrition and also just help other women get by as well.
So in kind of in lieu of today's topic, like, we're talking about people getting back into their training after having some time off, was there a specific moment or moments for you when you realized that you wanted to start taking care of yourself more after having your kids? If so, when was that for
I
you?
I think definitely. Well, also too, before I had my son, you know, I was in going through the college stage and meeting friends, going out, socializing, a lot of that, drinking, stuff like that, right? So I think too, after I had my first son, it was really just the whole, no matter how much you prepare, I find once you have a kid, there's still so much that comes along with it, how much your life changes, how much your friends change, you know, how much your whole routine changes. So I think too, once I got sober and just working out with everything, like after having the kids, I really just wanted to prioritize my self-care, you know, like all mentally too, like the whole shift. I used to deal with a lot of anxiety before too I had my son, but then once I was in postpartum, I had a lot more anxiety, of course, and mm-hmm. just from not getting a lot of sleep, you know, when you have your baby and stuff, you're up a lot and everything. So I found that exercise really just saved me through those moments and helped me feel like myself again and giving me that time to myself again. And yeah, that's what it really did for me. And I always have it to fall back on when things get tough, I find.
So you mentioned that your anxiety was pretty bad beforehand, but you said it got worse, obviously, or it got amplified after having your son.
Yeah, yeah. I think before, too, it was mostly from the drinking, because I did struggle with drinking before I had my son. It was, you know, I started when I was very, not young, but like in high school I started, and then I was doing that a lot, too. So then when I was sober through all of my pregnancy, but after having my son, you know, you kind of, I was sober, of course, while breastfeeding, but it comes back in because you think, you know, you can handle it. But then when I finally got sober after, I think, 7 months with my first son, then it was like, okay, what is my new thing now that I'm going to do to distract myself, you know? Because, of course, I couldn't, mm-hmm. I was used to going out every weekend with friends, but now it's like, okay, what can I do every weekend? So that's when I really got into the gym more seriously and took it seriously. And also too, I find when you stop drinking, you notice a lot more changes in your body with the fitness too, and just how much healthier you are, how much your muscle grows more, how much the nutrition helps, you know.
Yeah,
so yeah, it really, really helped me.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really important, and I would probably say from just what I've seen as well too, that I know it's hard for women after they do have a child, because you're trying to obviously tend this child, make sure that the kid's taken care of and everything, but at the same time, knowing when you should be getting back into doing things for yourself as well too. So
yeah.
do you have a lot of clients that are moms? If so, what are the main struggles or obstacles that you find that they work through when they're trying to get back into the gym?
Yeah, so I do have a lot of clients that are moms. That's usually the women I focus with. I help all women, but majority is moms. But I do find the number one thing is time. Of course, just trying to find in the right time, because I know when us moms do have time, I know I like to spend some time taking a nap if I have some time in between, you know, especially if you have totally a newborn. Fair. But, you know, I think time, and even just remembering that, like, no matter what you do, whether you go for a walk, whether you do like a 20 minute work out at home, whether you just do something healthy for yourself that day. It's just the consistency that really counts, you know. I think sometimes us moms too want to jump back into the person that we were before having our kids. And it's really important to remember that, you know, you're a whole new person now after having kids, and you want to really get yourself into this whole new being and like of so much more strength, you know, and trying to find that new and improved version of you instead of trying to get back to where you were before, because our bodies are so much stronger now after having kids. Like, I notice now I can push so much harder in the gym. Like, my pain level is definitely so much better now, and like, you know, you can just do anything. So yeah, I really just try to tell my clients, you know, stay consistent no matter what it is. Of course, kids, because you never know with kids, sometimes you have a set routine and then something switches up and you got to switch it around, and that's okay. You know, as long as you stay consistent, that's the number one thing.
Well, that's an interesting talking point. I just had that talk recently with a client of mine, actually, and she's getting into the gym now, but I think she kind of had the mentality that you have to be working out for like an hour a day and you have to be going like 4 to 5 times a week, and you kind of have to be doing, it's a little bit around that, like, all or nothing mentality, more or less. But I think it's really important to reiterate, but then also to kind of go off of what you said there as well too, that sometimes it's better to get in something, especially when you're trying to get back into the routine of things, than nothing, right? So sometimes, even though if maybe in hindsight, right, you know, maybe eventually you would like to be working out for 45 minutes or an hour a day, and if it starts off as 20 minutes a day or half an hour a day, it's still half an hour more than you were doing before, and you can still build that routine into your life and everything as well too, which I think is really good.
Yeah, no, definitely too. And that's what I try to tell the women too, because your body goes through so much stress, you know, being pregnant and giving, like having the child and everything, and even postpartum, your hormones, everything. So I always tell them something is better than nothing. Even if you get outside for a walk or something, like, it's better than, you know, moving your body is always a good option no matter what, I find.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think that's really great too, and it's nice to see the carryover just to someone who's just starting versus somebody who is wanting to kind of get back into things as well. Do you, when you're working with moms, what do you find are the biggest mental hurdles for a lot of them?
I think the mental hurdles too, I know, is definitely maybe the guilt feeling like, you know, guilty for getting, wanting to take that time to yourself as well. Like I said, with the anxiety, I know, like, having to leave your baby with someone else might be a bit much for a lot of women. So I think just really taking that time to, like, let them, like, asking for help and everything too from people, letting people know, hey, I need some help, just so I can work on myself a bit, do a little self-care with going to the gym and exercising and stuff, you know, and really trusting that with people, because I know it can be really hard for them. But at the same time, it's harder, you know, neglecting what you need yourself, you know, and doing that time after time after time, you know. So I find it's always better, you know, just try, if you can leave your baby with someone or put them in daycare. Like, I go to a gym that offers daycare, so even if I feel nervous, you know, my baby's right there, I can always see him. So I always find that's a great option too. And but yeah, just sometimes feeling guilty for wanting to do things for ourselves, I think, is the biggest hurdle.
Where do you think that guilt comes from?
I don't know. I think maybe once we become moms, you know, we really want to do our best for our kids, you know, no matter what age. And even if sometimes, you know, they feel sick or this and that, we can't do enough, we're always thinking, how can we be better, you know? So sometimes we do put our life on pause for them a lot, especially in the earlier years. And, you know, I found the gym always brought me back to myself, even if I had a shitty sleep, you know, the night before, or even if, you know, my kids are super sick, like, I'm still gonna get to the gym because I know this is gonna make me feel better. And even though it's hard getting to the gym some days, it's like, at least when I get there, I always feel better after. So I always just try to tell them, you know, don't feel too guilty about it, your kids will be fine, and, you know, you'll be happy that you did something for yourself.
Yeah, and I think obviously that makes sense, but I think it's like equally as important to make sure that you're still taking care of yourself so you can be the best mom that you can be for your family and for yourself, probably more importantly too, right? But I would imagine that's a very common thing that people experience, especially having their first child. Probably yes. Changes a little bit with your second.
Yeah, definitely with my second. I was very nervous. Well, the first one, you're always nervous. No matter how much you prepare, it's like when you actually have the baby in front of you, you're like, oh my gosh, you know? But now with my second, I realize I've done this before. Half the stuff that's happening, you know, it's not that bad. Or I don't worry too much. If I first hear him crying or something, I let it wait a bit and then see, you know? So you kind of get used to it with the second time around. You're like, okay, not everything will affect them so much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were some things that you did when you were trying to get back into the gym that helped you get back into the routine? Because I know for a lot of people, like in theory, it seems always kind of easy to get back into the swing of things, but then it comes down to the sheer application. So what were some things that either worked for you, some things that didn't work for you? Maybe some things that you use with your clients or some things that you look out for with your clients too. Because I feel like you're probably going to see like probably opposite ends personality wise, people that are like either they're action takers and they really want to kind of go like all in, or it's not that they're not action takers, but you feel like it's almost a little bit more of a struggle to get them into the gym.
Yeah.
And there'll be more friction, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. I know, like, for myself, what helped me was honestly going to the gym in the morning. So like I was saying before, I found a gym that had a daycare, which was really good for me. Yeah. And I find, because in that way, I could get up, get ready, you know, start my day off with going to the gym right away, because I find doing a morning workout just sets the tone for the rest of the day. And also, if you're feeling really tired, you know, you could always still go in the morning, do a little bit, and then you have the rest of the day to rest. So at least you can get it out of the way in the morning. So I find building that routine, like whatever fits for the person, I found that routine fit mm-hmm. best for me and my lifestyle, because then I could come home, prepare food for my husband when he comes home from work, and do any other cleaning and stuff I needed to do. But yeah, I think for, you know, for the other people, it does get a lot harder doing that and really, you know, getting into the gym at all. You know, it takes a lot. Like, I've had a couple clients before, like, just not like excuses, you know, but there's always those like hurdles of, oh, I can't do this today because of this, and I can't do this because of that, you know. And it's just like, you really sometimes mm-hmm. do have to push through even on your hardest days, because that's what's going to build it, that's what's going to build you, and that's what's going to build you stronger, right? So I yeah. always tell them, you know, at least aim maybe like 2 or 3 days for the week. And even if you can't pick those certain days, at least try that and see. And then the next week, try another day, like adding one more day to your routine, and kind of go like that until you get to the amount of days you want to be at. And just trying yeah. to push yourself in your hardest moments. That's the only way we can grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it kind of ties into the idea of messy action. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can wait for things to be like perfectly calculated, we can wait yeah. for the stars align, and we can wait for the perfect time to begin. But I think oftentimes the most important things to do or try to implement is just starting.
Yeah.
And everybody's idea of starting or everybody's starting point will be different, but sometimes we will over calculate to the point where we're falling into this paralysis by analysis thing, where we are almost trying to control all the variables that we can, and it's causing us to like almost just not take action. Or it's yeah. causing us to prolong the process, and it almost gives us more reason and rationale to do so. So I think sometimes like it's important to be very calculated about with what you're doing, but I think it's also important to just understand that like the beginning might not be perfectly calculated and clean.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But sometimes it's just a matter of like ripping the Band-Aid off and just starting.
Yeah, exactly. And also, now that you're saying that, I'm thinking of the word like adapting, you know, really adapting to change and adapting to this new routine, this new life, and taking care of this new being, you know. So I find like with kids, like you always have to adapt to the new stages that they're coming into and stuff. So
yeah,
that's why I always tell my clients, you know, just keep pushing, adapt to anything that's thrown at you, and try and look for the brighter side of it and how you can work around it.
Yeah. And I think there's a nice thing that you said earlier too about people wanting to jump back into things like that they were doing before they had kids.
Yeah.
And I think this is important to think about. And I think this really ties into someone setting goals, but also for somebody getting clarity on their why. Because obviously,
yes.
in lots of ways, you are still the same person. But the fact of the matter is, you know, now that you're a mother, your goals would have changed. So I think it's really important to, like, even for anybody, but just getting back into the gym, to reevaluate and figure out, okay, well, you know, I am a mom now, you know, my life is different now. What things are important to me and what things do I want to work towards? And I feel like that will give you some clarity on the whole process versus wanting to work towards the goals that you had before having kids, just because it's not going to be the exact same regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, your body does so much changes, you know, like, of course, your whole abdominal area changes everything, you know, and all your muscles, you know, get looser and everything. So I think too, like, I know I always wanted, before when I had my first son, I always thought of, you know, my pre-pregnancy body, but it's really like having that grace with yourself and like taking the time your body needs to actually heal from all the stress it was under and not like forcing yeah. too much, because then you could cause more strain on your body, more stress, you know. And it's just really having that grace upon with the journey and just embracing it.
Do a lot of your clients struggle with the body image component of things?
I think definitely they do. Like, they struggle with it a lot, you know, sometimes with, you know, of course, if you have stretch marks or if like you have, you know, more fat on your body than you're used to having, if you can't fit into your old clothes, you know. And it does, I think it does take a toll on you mentally and emotionally as well, but it's, so far it's been pretty good. Like, you know, I think also too, with all the hormones and everything in your body too, sometimes without exercise and stuff, you can feel really down and sluggish, as we know. So with the exercise, mm-hmm. it really just improves that and boosts it over time. And with the nutrition too, like eating proper nutrient dense foods to help with your body and everything are so, so good. So it really helps all overall.
Are there any things that you try to implement specifically to help your clients work through their body image related issues, or what would be some things?
I think usually, you know, I always like tell my clients, even though I always say, of course, we have to take, you know, progress photos. I know at the beginning for many of my clients, it is very, very hard to do that. I've had run into a few clients with that, but I always tell them, you know, even if you take the photos, at least you have it there. And then once you start working through the program, you can actually see the proper change. Because I think a lot of women, too, always look at the scale. You know, we always are looking at the number yeah. on the scale instead of realizing the difference between, you know, having muscle mass and losing the body fat and how that number can stay the same if you have a mm-hmm. lot of muscle mass, you know. Yeah. So I think that too, just trying to rewire their brain into the way of how the body can work through fitness and nutrition, and we don't always have to worry about the number on the scale. And that I find with progress photos, it's a lot better to see your progress. And then of course over time it gets a bit easier. And I noticed also in my program, I really have a mindset transformation phase, which really helps the women, you know, journal out everything that you're going through and nice. That you're having, and then reflecting back too, like after weeks or months, see how you're feeling before and see how you're feeling now and notice the changes. You know, I think sometimes we're always really caught up in like the what's next and the present, and, you know, and we don't realize how far we have come with everything from yeah. our past. Yeah. So really like reflecting a lot, I think, helps with a lot of growth as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think it's really important to journal. And I think like gratitude practices are really yes. good too, to try to work on, like, again, being grateful for what you have, but also being grateful for who you are.
Yeah.
I think obviously like we could focus on things that we do have, but those are all extrinsic things. I think it's really yeah. good to practice gratitude on internal things, you know, to focus on being grateful for who you are as a person. Because I feel like people often, like you mentioned, attach a lot of value to the scale weight.
Yeah.
And they tend to attach a lot of self-image towards it. They attach a lot of their value towards it. So I feel like it is good to really work on creating a bit of a disassociation between the scale and somebody's value. But I do think the scale is a good tool, because obviously it does allow somebody to see what their body looks like.
Yeah.
With seeing upward or downward trends. But I do think that you mentioned before, it is really important to focus on like lean muscle mass, body fat percentage,
yeah.
looking at skeletal muscle mass, looking at pictures, because you can see, well, this is physically how your body is changing.
Yeah.
Even if we have a week where maybe the scale weight didn't change. And like you said too, like, I love the fact that you did say that, you know, you can still, like, you should still love your body though. And that's important, right? You don't have to just love your body if the weight goes down, but loving your body kind of more just like as it is too.
Yeah, exactly. Really love yourself for how you're feeling too. Like, sometimes we're always like, I know a lot of clients come in showing me photos like, oh, I want to look like this and this and that. But it's really like, how do you want to feel overall? Like, I know you want to look like this, but what if you look like this? How are you going to feel after? Like, is that body image really going to make you feel better? Or like, do you want to work through it all and actually feel mentally and emotionally and physically okay? You know, so really finding that feeling of feeling good within your body, no matter how it looks.
Yeah. And something that I've realized too, not just with mothers, but I think with just people in general, is a lot of us are just chasing a feeling. Like, we want to feel a certain way about how we look, and it ties into some sort of like deep rooted psychological component.
Yeah.
But it's good to understand like what you're really wanting to work towards and what it is that you are chasing. Cause again, you might reach a point where, you know, you think you'll be happy when you reach a certain body weight, or you think you'll be happy when you reach a certain look. But then if you aren't truly happy with yourself, or if you're not able to understand what you're actually working towards, you might find that you're working towards that goal and you reach said goal for yourself, but you still aren't happy and fulfilled because you are too focused on the outcome of everything.
Exactly. I think a lot of people are focused, you know, at the beginning, their focus is the outcome, but it's really the whole journey that transforms the person, right? And, you know, adapting to that journey, no matter what it might be. And, you know, you'll have some good days, some bad days, but, you know, it's always about consistency and just adapting well.
Yeah, consistency is so important. And I feel like that's the toughest part probably in the beginning, is trying to get people to just adhere. But I think that's the importance of, like, obviously you want to have a bigger, like, long-term goal.
Yeah.
But I think that's where it really ties in to ensure that you are having short-term goals where we could focus on adherence, we could focus on consistency, and we could focus on building up some good habits along the way. But like you mentioned too, like, learning to enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, it teaches somebody long-term gratification, right? Versus it just being a very quick thing where we're happy with how we look right now, or we're happy with the outcome of something. It's a matter of teaching somebody that, like, okay, well, these daily and weekly actions are getting you towards your goal.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of looking at, like, what else is happening along the way too.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I find with my clients too, I always try, you know, set your realistic goals at the beginning, because the beginning's the toughest part, you know. And I find setting realistic goals with everyone's different lifestyle, because everyone's different. So I know a lot of women, you know, go on social media, see all the other women on there, and they want to do exactly what those women are doing, you know, but they don't see the behind the scenes of everything and everyone's different lifestyle. So it's really, that's why I find one-on-one coaching is great, because you actually sit down with someone and can go through your entire lifestyle, everything you've been through, you know, anything that your body has been through, and really set a clear plan on how to reach your goals and realistic goals for your body.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, like, I'm sure you could even attest to this too, that a lot of what we do as coaches is obviously giving somebody a plan, whether it be a workout plan or nutrition plan, but a lot of it is just support.
Yeah, no, definitely.
A lot of it is around the relationship. A lot of it is around helping somebody navigate adversity, helping somebody navigate obstacles, and helping them build some mental resiliency, right?
Yeah.
And I think obviously we have the idea that what we do is we just prescribe exercises or sets and reps, or we just hand somebody a meal plan or macros, but a lot of it is really what kind of goes on behind the scenes, and it's everything else that has direct impact into the progress that somebody has seen.
No, I definitely agree with you. Yeah, I notice a lot of people coming in too. It's really the support and getting, you know, having that little backup person to tell them, like, hey, and have the accountability too, to make sure, hey, are you doing this? Are you checking in? Are you tracking this? You know, so Yeah, definitely a lot of support.
Yeah. So if you had somebody that signed up with you, let's say today or tomorrow, and they were wanting to get into a workout plan and they were wanting to change their lives, and let's say it's been a while for them, or maybe let's say it's their first time ever getting into the gym, what would be your starting points for them?
Well, I think definitely to get their history of their health, any health injuries, anything like that, see where they're at, if they dealt with doing any physical activity in the past, and if their knowledge on the gym too. Usually, if they are located within my area, I always do an in-person session just to make sure we can go through the workouts together, make sure their form is correct, make sure they have a lot of assistance with that, just to see. So I'll usually get them in, track them for a bit on their eating habits, see how they're doing for about a week or two. Mostly I do like a week just to see where their current calorie state's at. And then we'll see based on the goals that they have and what they want to get to, how many times, and also with their lifestyle, how many times they can get into the gym, how many, if they work a job that is sitting all day or if they work a job that is very active. You know, and just kind of go from there based on their lifestyle and see how we can get them into the gym a lot more and just build that consistency, that accountability, do many check-ins with them, and see how it goes.
Yeah, I feel like with anybody that's new, oftentimes, I think we talked about it really briefly in this one as well too, how most people come in and they want to go to the gym like 5-6 times a week. They want to completely 180 flip their entire nutrition plan. They want to be eating different foods. They want to cut out certain foods entirely. They want to completely change their life. But from what I've seen over my years of coaching, and I'm sure you could even attest to this too in the time that you've been coaching as well, is with this extreme approach, it's not usually sustainable and people usually fall off.
No, definitely. It's very overwhelming, I think, to want all the things right off the bat if your body's not even used to it. Because for your body to go through going to the gym 5 days a week, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not used to the supplements that we take, you know, or even the foods that we eat, it'll definitely put your body in a shock almost.
Yeah.
With everything, yeah. Right? And you'll get very stressed out. So then I think that's why a lot of people fall off when they try to do the all or nothing method, because it's just not realistic for them, for their lifestyle and for their goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's why I like the approach that you mentioned earlier about, like, if somebody is new, it's like, hey, well, why don't we just aim to go 2 to 3 times a week?
Yeah.
Like, let's just aim to go more than you're going right now. And even just, you know, being honest with themselves and being honest with you too. How much time would you be willing to allocate to your gym right now, or to the time of the gym right now? And, you know, build off of that too. It's not like you have to be at that 2 to 3 times a week forever, but build the consistency up. Get to a point where you like enjoy the gym. Cause a lot of people, when they first start, they don't like it. And that's totally fair. Cause I think everybody starts there, but get to a point where like you're craving the workouts, you really enjoy going, you're seeing the benefits from going. And then once you get to that point, then it's the matter of, okay, well, let's add a day or let's extend the duration that you're currently there right now and then just build off of that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly how it is, right? Because I know a lot of people coming in too haven't really, they've either haven't been to the gym in a while or they don't really know too much knowledge about the exercises. And so then even when I give them the exercises, their bodies get sore pretty quickly and they're like, oh, this is pretty hard. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you haven't worked those muscles out, you know? So honestly, going in, I usually start with like 2 to 3 days a week for a few weeks until the body gets used to it. And then we usually up it from there.
Yeah, that's smart. I think that's a good approach. And like, I think too, like within that too, I think people can build their confidence up faster.
Yeah.
So I feel like confidence is a very common issue for a lot of people starting off. If they try to go in like 5 times a week, the confidence will generally tank pretty fast because there's going to be issues getting to the gym that frequently. There's going to be issues with them just even getting up and doing the stuff that needs to be done. And then if you factor in, you know, the food, if you factor in the commute to the gym, home and everything as well. And like, you're likely going to bed earlier or you're going to bed later, try to fit the gym into your schedule. So like, there is a lot of change when you're trying to add the gym into your life that a lot of people don't really think about. Yeah. It's not just the time spent in the gym. It's very encompassing because you think it's kind of, it's pretty much a bit of everything.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's why, like I said before, the setting the realistic goals is like the number one thing I tell all my clients about, because I find if you have a few goals written down for the week, you know, and then you hit those and you hit them well and you feel good about it, it does boost your confidence so much more. So it's like, okay, then the next week, maybe I'll add another goal in there, and then you keep going and going and going. So yeah, I know for myself, even when I got back to the gym after my pregnancies, I would at least just try, you know, even show up, even if I'm there for 10 minutes and I, you know, if I don't like it at all, at least I showed up, because I think showing up is really the hardest part. You know, once you're there, it's kind of like, okay, I'll work out. But I think actually getting into your car and driving to the gym is probably the number one hardest thing a lot of my clients deal with. So it's really just transforming them into pushing past those hard points. And then once you're there, you know, you're there and you can get it done.
Do you have a trick that you use with clients to try to like get them past that that mental hurdle?
I don't, not really a trick, but I try to just, you know, as of course they're investing into this. They're investing into all, you know, the coaching and everything. So I tell them, you know, you really have to push past that point, because no one is gonna honestly do it for you. You have to be able to overcome it in order to change and to grow. Yeah. And to change the outcome. You know, if you really want this body or these goals or all these things, you have to be the one to push yourself, because if we can't push ourselves, it's gonna be hard. If, you know, I can be there standing in their corner helping them as much as I can, but they really have to learn how to push past their mind and their thoughts and, you know, really get into it. So I just try to keep pushing them, and I just try to post as much on my page too, you know, letting people know, even though I had a hard day, I'm still going to make it to the gym, you know, because that's what how growth is, and that's how you will grow. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think it ties in well to what we discussed a little bit earlier too, about like the why. I think if somebody has clarity on why they want to be physically active, on why they want to be to the gym, I feel like it lights the path for them. And also they're more inclined to want to go if they have clarity on the true reason they want to be in the gym. Because obviously they might throw the vanity reasons at you. They might just be like, oh, I want to lose weight, or I want to build some muscle. But if you're able to find out like the deep rooted reason as to why they actually want to be there, I feel like there's more emotional tie in. And with that, I feel like they're more likely to want to adhere to going to the gym if they're actually able to resonate with it more and create more of a important relationship with their root cause for wanting to go. Because I feel like a lot of people oftentimes they try to create action without having much clarity on what they actually want.
Yeah.
And that's usually when I found that a lot of people that I've worked with as well experience issues, because either their life has changed a lot and their goals haven't, or they haven't really like thought hard enough about why they actually want to step into the gym. Because oftentimes it might be for vanity reasons, because it's easy to throw out there.
Yeah.
But there's going to be more emotional tie to why they actually want to be in the gym.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think I notice it a lot more too now with people, that the deep rooted pain is what is getting people into the gym and changing. Like I know for myself, especially with getting sober, that was probably the hardest thing I've ever did. On top of that, being postpartum through it too, you know, it's like, I was really going to the gym at the beginning, I think, to distract myself. But I think now I really needed to build that mental strength. You know, the gym has taught me so much discipline and, you know, just being able to not only progress within fitness, but just progress within everywhere else, you know, perform as a better mother, like keeping up with my kids, pushing through hard, like any life struggles that are thrown my way with finances or, you know, getting a new house or this and that. You know, I feel like I can just tackle so much more stuff now after like building that mental strength from the gym. And it's really just helped me overall in my entire life with everything.
Yeah, no, and I think that's really important to take away from this too, is that it teaches you to be patient, to commit to something. And it's also one of those things that you just like, you don't see immediate ROI on. Like you do in like really small ways, right? Yeah. Like you'll see like little micro changes. Obviously, as time goes on, these things will amplify. But it's kind of one of those things where like you go and you do a workout and you don't immediately look different after said workout, or like there's not a ton of like immediate change. Yeah. So it's interesting in that sense, because you have to just like, you really do have to trust the process.
Yeah.
And just know that it's these daily or weekly actions that are going to be paying off in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, sticking to it, like no matter what, I find is good. And I know for myself, like giving myself like the non-negotiables for the week is definitely a lot easier to hit for myself, especially with my lifestyle. So doing that and sticking to it no matter what, like that's why I say with time and also with reflecting back on where we were before, really helps us see like how much we have changed. Because I know sometimes I'm always like, oh, what can I drive towards next? What do I want next? And then I'm always like, oh wow, I actually changed so much since I had my baby to where I am 7 months now, you know? So I always try to remind my clients of that too. Like always look back on where you started, because you will really see the difference.
Yeah. And I'm guilty for that too. I think we tend to be, I was talking with somebody else on a podcast about this too, and I think it's really important to be like outcome driven. Yeah. But not too outcome focused. Yeah. So I think it's important to be driven by the outcome, because I do think that that's important to think about. But we don't want to be too outcome obsessed and focused to the point where if we're not seeing some direct ROI or return of investment on that big goal, that we're like failing or that we're not doing things properly. So I think it's really important to think about, like, again, like you mentioned, where we were versus where we are.
Yeah.
And maybe we're not where we want to be, but that should be motivating and inspiring. It should be a driving factor. It shouldn't be this thing that is holding you back and making you feel bad about what you are doing right now.
No, yeah, definitely. I find too, like we always have like this image of where we want to be. And I find too, going through the process, sometimes it's always, no matter what outcome we wanted, sometimes the outcome comes out even better than we expected, you know, and we learn different things along the way and how we feel, and maybe some things that we want to change, or that you know, we find we don't really need as much anymore, and I would like this instead, and like finding a different way of feeling comfortable, you know. And I find too, that's where the growth really happens, with trusting the process, because all these different things will come up and we're like, oh, maybe we'll like this instead, or maybe I'll try this technique instead, and we'll work around it. And then it's more enjoyable for the outcome. Yeah.
I agree for sure. Yeah. So I have one final question for you. If you were to talk to a younger Alexis or a young mom who's just wanting to get back into the gym and take care of themselves, what would be some pieces of advice that you'd give them or yourself?
I definitely think, you know, do the things that will make you feel, you know, genuinely happy, in the sense of not only physically, but emotionally and mentally. I find, you know, doing all this fitness and the nutrition with everything, I always before looked on how my body looked, but I didn't really think about how my body felt, you know, and how much mental strength I've gained over these past few years, especially with having two kids now and getting back into the gym and everything, and just letting my younger self know that everything does work out. Even if you have a certain way you want it to be and you have to adapt to the new things, it will always find a way of working out as long as you keep going and you don't give up and stay consistent.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you very much. I think this is great for a lot of people that are like either just getting into the gym, or if they are a new mom and maybe they don't have clarity on where they want to go with things or what they want to do, or they're being hard on themselves and they expect the world of themselves. They expect to be exactly where they were before they had the child. And there's a lot of internal conflict, right? So I feel like we touched upon a lot of things here that were really important for being successful. But most importantly, taking care of yourself, right?
Yeah, definitely. You have to take care of yourself, because you can't pour from an empty cup. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. So for people that want to stay up to date with what you do, possibly get in touch with you and talk about starting a program, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah, so I have my Instagram there, LexMitFit. You can probably tag it down below. And I do have, you can always shoot me a DM, or I do have my application link in my bio. But yeah, if anyone wants to reach out, my messages are always open and I'm here to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Take care.